Welcome to our show, The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm your host, Faith Marie Batsko, bringing you critical insight and revelation to position you securely in Christ for the season ahead. Hello and welcome to The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm Faith Batsko, and today we are going to talk about third day realities. So throughout the Bible, God employed the use of numbers to express spiritual truths, to mark and direct us to notable events on heaven's trajectory of movement up to Jerusalem and to the future reign of Christ. Certain numbers have been revealed to have great significance, such as 7, representing completion of purposes, 40, representing times of judgment, and 70, indicative of a generational shift into another spiritual dynamic. Another very significant number is 3, used repeatedly to represent the sublime work of the cross that covers the spectrum of death to resurrection realities. Recently, the Lord has begun to highlight the third day and third day realities evidenced by the cross. There are many powerful third day scriptures and passages that have been endued with a prophetic view to future events, apart from their fulfillment in their own time. One such passage is Exodus chapter 19, verse 11, where the Lord told Moses to consecrate the people to get them ready for the third day when he would come down to them. I'll just read that for you. It says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." Similarly, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, the Lord told Joshua to tell the people to prepare and consecrate themselves, for in 3 days they would cross over into the promised land. After 3 days, the priesthood and the Ark of the Covenant led the way across the Jordan as the waters parted before them. At another time, when the people of Israel faced a crisis of their annihilation, God raised up Esther as queen to make an appeal before the king. Despite the possibility of death, Esther prevailed. The king granted her favor to decree the destruction of the enemies of the people of God, and Israel was saved. Esther 5:1 says, "Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house." Again, at another notable time, when Israel sinned in disobedience to God's ordinances and departed from his ways, judgment was decreed upon them. They were taken captive by their enemies and went into exile. Through Hosea the prophet, God brought a charge against the nation, declaring that there was no truth, mercy, or knowledge in them, that they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. God decided to hide himself with the intention that in their affliction, they would earnestly seek him. The cry then came through Hosea in chapter 6, 1, verse 1 to 3. He said, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain and former rain to the earth." In Jesus' time, he became very angry at what was taking place in his father's house, and he drove the money changers out of the temple. Because of this, the people demanded a sign as to the authority by which he could do such a thing. And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus was not only referring to his body that would be resurrected after his crucifixion, but he was also referring to the house of God that would be built in his name and on the foundation of his life. Jesus was the first fruit of many who would be fashioned and conformed in his image, a house of living stones built within 3 days. In Mark 14:58, it says, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" In the book of Peter, he taught that 1,000 years were as 1 day to the Lord. Could it be that we have arrived at the time of the morning of the third day after Christ's resurrection? 2 Peter 3:6-10 tells us, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So have we arrived at the most notable moment of history, when, as with Moses on the third day, after a time of consecration, God said he would come down? Or a time like Joshua, when God told the people to consecrate themselves as on the third day they would cross over into the promised land? For us, it is the promised land of the millennial reign of Christ. Are we in the time that Hosea prophesied of, when God would revive Israel after 2 days and raise them up on the third day with the outpouring of the latter rain, when Israel will once again live in his sight? Could it be as in the time of Esther, when on the third day the bride must go before the king and receive his favor to go on the offensive and decree the destruction of its enemies in the battles of the last days? Are we in the time of judgment and shaking that will result in the return of the king, when the last stone will be placed in the house of God he has been building, the headstone raised and inaugurated on the third day? Have we arrived at the end times? The word of God says that the harvest is the end of the age. Jesus said that the tares and the wheat must grow together to their fullness. What does the fullness of evil look like? I think we are at the early stages of experiencing what it will look like. What does the fullness of Christ look like? Ephesians 4:13 tells us that we have been growing up into the fullness of the stature of Christ, being conformed to his image. So it looks like the release of the sons of God. Get ready to embrace this truth. God's word to us is only believe. Civilization appears to be on the brink of collapse, and we are living now in unprecedented times, an unprecedented wave of worldwide gross immorality, an unprecedented man-made global pandemic, ushering in an unprecedented, very aggressive global push to vaccinate the entire world population. Critical thinking would question why and research the facts. We are witnessing unprecedented collusion between leaders of all mountains and spheres of life. This is all taking place in a time where there is unprecedented technology capable of monitoring the globe and every person on it, as we witness an unprecedented move toward governmental control and dictatorship globally. Persecution tends to bring people in line and in unity very quickly. In these unprecedented times, God is making things black and white, that the side of righteousness is made apparent to all, that what is clean and unclean, what is rebellion and obedience, is made abundantly clear. Those who know God's word and follow it will be distinguished from those who do not. There is at present an aggressive spirit of rebellion roaming the streets of our cities and our nations. Jesus prophesied that in the last days, lawlessness would abound and the love of many will grow cold. There is increasing evidence of this as the enemy works ferociously to divide us on every front. The saints of God are being tested in many ways to qualify for his army. Much of the insanity taking place in the world right now is causing and motivating the army of God to begin to rise and to take its place on the front lines. We must remember that the third day realities not only signify a time of testing, trials, and tribulation, but is also indicative of the time of resurrection, when the people of God will arise with his glory upon them. A marker is a point of reference from which everything changes when things shift into a new dynamic. I believe that dynamic is war. The armies of God are being deployed. The trumpet is about to sound. Those who choose to submit are being marked by heaven. Ezekiel 9:4 says, "He said to them, 'Walk through the streets of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all who weep and sigh because of the detestable sins being committed in their city.'" The Feast of Trumpets this year will be a most significant time. Pray for ears to hear the sounding of the trumpets. In a previous word I published last year, entitled "Systems Are Deployed," I wrote that a system was a set of things working together as parts of an interconnecting network or mechanism, a complex whole. A system can also represent a set of organs in the body having a common structure or function. The word "deploy" means to move troops or equipment into position for military action, to bring into effective action. In this word that I wrote, I said, both these words are key to what is presently taking place in the spirit. The preparation that the saints have endured over the last 20 to 30 years under the hand of the Holy Spirit has been readying them to now be deployed. God's creative life force is about to be unrestrained, let loose, and discharged through peoples, systems, and networks deployed in strategic settings over the globe. These systems are comprised of saints who have committed to serving God in obedience, who will choose to link arms in authentic unions, structures, and functions. They will be power-packed with the energy force of God, ready to explode in the earth's atmosphere. Saints have been fashioned as God's storehouses, where he has been storing and filling up his treasures and spiritual food, prepared to serve the harvest in the time of spiritual famine. God is fashioning and establishing glory hubs all over the earth, and saints raised up to steward these hubs that could be whole regions or even small communities. In this hour, it is vital to be positioned in the location God has determined for you. Trust Him to lead you where you need to be. These places and regions will be protected by God's glory and presence. It doesn't matter where you are, you can create your own glory bubble through praise and worship of the King. Isaiah 4, verse 5 to 6 tells us, "When the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain." These glory zones will be cities and communities that have become a refuge from the present and coming storms on the earth. They are God-created systems, established and designed as networks, a metron possessing the dynamic of the supernatural. They are self-contained and fully equipped with the provision that sustains food, resources, and spiritual authority where heavenly provisions are stored. God's army has come through the tests and the war games are now over. We are being deployed into a very real and even dangerous battle. The stakes are high and we must count the cost and move forward. The saints of God are becoming wide awake. Apostolic generals are being called out and are arising. People will be searching for courageous leaders who can direct the way ahead. True prophets in whom there is no mixture will take their place, laid down lives in service of the King. A coming wave of the supernatural is about to be released as the King arises to lead us forward. A great awakening in the church and of the lost will become the catalyst that moves everyone into position to fulfill their assignments and the destinies prepared by Father God before the foundation of the world. The influx of a great harvest of souls will force the church to mobilize and take action. As the great awakening unfolds, evangelism and teachers will be called to gather and disciple the harvest. Prayer and strategic intercession must move to a higher level of union with God. Those anointed in deliverance will be in great demand. Apostles and prophets will be called to empower and mobilize the troops. As we move and press forward, it will be important to be meeting, gathering, and talking with each other regularly. We cannot afford to stay isolated from each other any longer. It is time to discover and understand your sphere of influence and the strategies for reaching your community. The Lord said that on the third day He would come down. He said that on the third day He would restore. That on the third day we would cross over, and that on the third day He would arise. As we live and move and have our being in Him, when He arises, resurrection power will be released and we shall arise in and with Him. A great impartation of faith and courage will be infused into the body of Christ to cause us to stand in strength in these times. John chapter 2 verse 1 tells us that on the third day there was a wedding. The end time wine reserved for the people of God will sustain and keep us as we wait for our bridegroom King to return. Father God, I want to pray even right now for that great impartation of faith and courage into the people of God. Lord, we need You. We need You desperately, God. For apart from You, we can do nothing, and we acknowledge that. We acknowledge you as God, as Lord and Master over our lives and over the affairs of humanity. We acknowledge that you are seated on your throne, that you are above it all, and your wisdom is higher and beyond anything that we could ever know or understand. So, Lord, we trust you. We know that you are a faithful God. You have proven it in our lives. And we commit our lives to you right now and ask, God, that you would position us securely in the location and the places that you need us to be. That you will make it clear to us, God, that we will not move in presumption or do anything foolishly, but that we will be moved by the Holy Spirit, that our ears will be opened, God, that our eyes would see, that we would have understanding and revelation for this moment of time. Bless us and our families and our communities, God. Protect us, Lord, and draw us together where we find strength in you and with each other. Lord, I commit your people to you this day and know that you are God and you will watch over your sheep. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me. Please help to share this message and get it out there. I believe it's important and critical at this hour. So please share, like. We have amazing resources and books for you to buy and study, The Arising Army of God, and another new book I just published, Arising Called For, and many online courses. Go to our website at media.headstoneministries.com and just have a feast in Jesus' name. Amen. Help us to get these words out to the body of Christ, to rally the troops and those serving the Lord on the front lines. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and cpnshows.com. And please like and share with your friends. See the links below to our website and our social media pages. God bless you and keep you safe and hidden within Him.